This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. 12 Tampa Bay locations. Find your location at originalhooters.com. And for those of you outside the Tampa Bay area, you know where your nearest Hooters location is. Make your fantasy draft party a reality at Hooters. Book your fantasy party online at football.hooters.com. Get a free CBS Sports Draft Kit along with $200 in Hooters coupons for the entire season. Also, we are getting closer and closer for those of you that play fantasy football in the Tampa Bay area and want to play fantasy football in another league this year that I host, powered by Hooters and JoeBucksFan.com. We will be doing one set of drafts at a Pinellas County location coming up and one set of fantasy drafts at a Hillsborough County location coming up. Basically, to get involved, all you need to do is send me your name, your phone number, and obviously your email. I know it sounds simple. Some of you haven't done it right. That's not a good sign for when you're drafting in a fantasy football draft. If you can't even send me those three things on an email to get in a fantasy football draft. Name, phone number, email. Send it to ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Sending more than one will not increase your likelihood of being selected to play in one of these leagues. I just need one email. And I need your email within the next 7 days. We want to finalize everybody playing in the leagues that will draft in Pinellas County and in Hillsborough County. And if you do have a preference, let me know your preference. Some of you didn't express a preference. When I write you, I'm actually going to ask which location you would rather be at, because Joe Bucks Fan actually sent that out in an email blast on the website. Also, it is not a requirement that you are a hardcore Bucks fan to play in one of these leagues. No. It's not. As a matter of fact, if you stick carriers want to play in your own league, I'm already going to take all the Buccaneers off the board and disperse them randomly in a supplemental draft so as not to skew the actual integrity and value of the other 31 NFL teams in an actual draft process. So again, name, phone number, email, and if you have a preference to draft in Hillsborough or Pinellas County, to ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Would love to get you in one of these leagues. I'll be at both locations. Obviously, they'll be on separate nights to host these leagues. They're powered by Hooters and JoeBucksFan.com. And yes, the leagues are free to play in. Joe Bucks Fan is actually providing some prizes as well. All right, let's... Welcome to the Friday podcast. This is a rare Friday podcast that I actually record on Friday. Normally, I record it on Thursday night in the regular season. It's usually at or near the end of the Thursday night football game. But I thought I'd wait until today just to get some more things into this Friday podcast, since I will not offer you another one until next Monday. First of all, let me comment a little bit on the situation in Jacksonville, as there's more and more conversation now that Blake Bortles' job is not safe as starting quarterback of the Jags. Unless you are a huge UCF homer, a huge Jaguar homer, or sadly both, you were not planning to draft Blake Bortles as your starting quarterback in any season-long league of 8 to 16 teams. Maybe you were considering him in a two-quarterback league and not as your first choice for a second quarterback. The best thing we can say from a fantasy standpoint about the professional career of Blake Bortles is a couple years ago, he was Oscar the Grouch, which is a name I generally assign to the best garbage time players in fantasy football. Players clearly from a week-to-week basis on a bad team who rack up a ton of fourth-quarter garbage points when the opposing team doesn't feel an urgency to play as strong a defense and is playing with a 2-3-4 touchdown league. Blake Bortles isn't even that anymore. Now, the Jacksonville Jaguars brought back Tom Coughlin, and then, for some reason, Doug Marrone got a second NFL head coaching job. I have no idea why. I'm not saying he's not worthy of being a coach in the NFL. I believe he is. But as a head coach a second time, it just shows the Jags again don't know what they're doing. And as I've continually said about the Jaguars, especially when they sign big-time free agents, or most of the time when they draft players on the first or second day of the draft, the Jaguars are where football careers go to die. The Jags had trouble hiring a head coach because apparently in the interview process, that head coach was told, Blake Bortles is your quarterback. I got a plane to catch. I got to get out of here. I think I left the iron on back at the hotel. So some thought that was the only reason why Marrone got the job was because he said, yeah, that's okay. Well, here we are mid-August, and clearly even Doug Marrone is sounding like he's not okay with this. And I don't think Tom Coughlin, at his age, I don't think Tom's old enough to wait around for Blake Bortles to get it. It certainly feels like a worse situation now in Jacksonville. I was already down on Leonard Fournette for all the reasons I already gave. Also, I generally don't like touching rookie running backs, especially ones behind bad offensive lines. That takes away you making the example that Fournette can do what Ezekiel Elliott did last year. So much like with Andrew Luck in Indianapolis, when you have an uncertain quarterback situation going into the beginning of the season, I would hedge on any of the skill position players on that particular team. Because Chad Henne may have the tightest helmet in the National Football League, but there's a reason why Chad Henne has not been a starting quarterback in the National Football League for a number of years. So the quarterback situation in Jacksonville is actually somehow worse than even most of us thought. This lowers the value of Leonard Fournette, of Allen Robinson, and other Jaguar pass catchers, and I would knock them down further on your draft boards or when you get to them. If you're working off a best available sheet, you might want to look at the three names below those names and choose from one of those three instead. Now, as it relates to Ezekiel Elliott, as we sit here on Friday around the time I'm cutting this podcast early afternoon on Friday, the appeal has been filed. At this point, we know who is going to hear it. We have also heard the news that Roger Goodell was never present in the room when Ezekiel Elliott offered his side of the story and the accused offered her side of the story. That's inexcusable. This also leads me to believe what I said on the Monday podcast, that I don't know where this is headed, but I firmly believe that there is no chance Ezekiel Elliott will be suspended for the first six games of this regular season, as originally administered by the NFL. This suspension will be either reduced or delayed. I have even more reason to believe the original six-game suspension to begin this season will not hold. Ultimately, it's up to those of you. if you are in a season-long fantasy draft and you are drafting this weekend, and believe it or not, I'm in one that drafts on Sunday. You've got to make your own decision on Ezekiel Elliott, knowing you might not have him. You might not have him for the beginning of the season for anywhere from 2 to 6 games. You might lose him in the middle of the season. You might lose him near the end of the season. Or it's someone else's problem for next year if this thing gets tabled indefinitely. It's your decision. I'm just pretty confident in telling those of you who would consider drafting Ezekiel Elliott, I wouldn't expect if you draft him that you won't be able to use him until week 8 against the Redskins. I think there will be some other scenario other than that. All right, speaking of running backs, another pedestrian performance for LeGarrette Blount in Philadelphia. Basically, this one's easy, and we talked about it previously on the podcast way back to when Blount originally signed with the Philadelphia Eagles. Blount and New England are a match, much as other talented performers who come with baggage, many are a match for the New England Patriots. I can't tell you exactly why. I can speculate. First of all, winning's kind of fun. Was it Madden who said, winning is a great deodorant? Pretty good line. I'm not a huge John Madden fan, but that's a pretty good line. Also, I think there's a way Bill Belichick runs things in New England that are pretty damn simple, and players either accept them or they don't. But we've seen examples of players that don't work elsewhere that work in New England. It doesn't always go that way. I never thought LeGarrette Blount would work in Philadelphia. Bad karma from his last attempt to play football in that state, although the city of Philadelphia and the city of Pittsburgh couldn't be more opposites while they do reside within the same border of the United States of America. There's also a thing called touchdown regression, where Blount did lead the NFL in touchdowns last year, but that was on the New England offense. This is on a Philadelphia offense. It just feels like Blount is not worth your season-long roster spot. This looks like a daily play at best, or a late round, I don't know, RB, almost RB 4 or 5, where if it turns out you get a few games out of him, great. You hit the jackpot. Anything beyond that is a bonus. But you spent maybe your a very late round draft pick on him, or let the Eagles homer in the room take the guy, or someone who didn't even know he switched teams in your season long draft. All right, latest news on Andrew Luck. Still, we've got nothing to go on that Andrew Luck is ready to play this year. Nothing. That should affect how you think of T.Y. Hilton, all Indianapolis Colts receivers, and the running back situation in Indianapolis as well. While Andrew Luck has been a reality and fantasy disappointment overall at quarterback in the last few years, acknowledging that the Colts were the opponent in the Deflategate AFC Championship game a few years ago. So it's not like they've done nothing the last few years with Andrew Luck. They were the losing team in the Deflategate AFC Championship game. And sure, Andrew Luck does put up games that are fantasy point worthy and equivalent to those of some other top fantasy quarterbacks on a not necessarily week-to-week basis, but it sort of runs hot and cold with Luck. This just doesn't feel like a good situation to me. You've got 31 other teams out there to choose your starting quarterback. And Andrew Luck, if he's going to be picked, is probably going to be picked in the top five or six of quarterbacks anyway. It's not worth your investment. Season long, he becomes, to me, until further notice, a daily play on a week-to-week basis, where once we have determined he is healthy enough to play this season. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. 12 Tampa Bay locations. Make your fantasy draft party a reality at Hooters. Book your fantasy party online at football.hooters.com. Get a free CBS Sports draft kit along with $200 in Hooters coupons for the entire season. And remember, go boneless. 10 boneless wings shaken in one of Hooters' signature sauces with a side of fries for only $9.99. That's all day. That's every day. Hot wings, cold beer, summer seafood, Hooters style. 12 Tampa Bay area locations, Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983. Yes, I did watch the ESPN, some of the ESPN 24 plus hour fantasy football marathon. Honestly, their college basketball tournament pool marathon was much better. The fantasy marathon, there was a lot of fill, a lot of unnecessary stuff. I didn't see the auction that some have problems with for social reasons. I didn't see it. I can't comment on it. I did see the quote-unquote celebrity draft. Where were the celebrities? That's what I want to know. Now, look, I think it's cool that Jay Billis and his son had a team in the draft. I don't like First Take. I like Molly. I respect how Stephen A. and Max have made a living being loudmouths. I don't watch that show. To have them have a team, I don't have a problem with that. This is not a celebrity draft. Come up with another name for it. And, you know, JoJo's a cute girl, and yeah, he's Aaron Rodgers' brother, but if that's the best you got, literally, the only celebrity in there was Seth Rollins, who actually, and I'm not surprised because those of us that have followed professional wrestling for longer than we care to admit know that the longer Vince McMahon trusts you with a live microphone on the live shows, particularly Raw, SmackDown just went live within the last year or so. It used to be a tape show. The more you have the personality to sell what you need to sell. Why do you think Brock Lesnar has the advocate Paul Heyman? Because Brock doesn't want to talk. And honestly, I've seen Brock do interviews on ESPN with the coach when the coach worked there, and they're not very good anyway. And all the best to Ric Flair, one of my favorites of all time. Inside wrestling or overall for the entertainment he gave me in life. It didn't look good there on Monday, but let's hope for the best. But Seth Rollins, yeah, you were solid in that. Trey Wingo, you did the best you could. I love that we're seeing more of Kenny Mayne on ESPN. And Matthew Berry does have a new fantasy football show. It's pretty awful right now. It will get better. And Matthew's just kind of a guy who laughs at himself. And he knows what he's talking about, so you might want to check it out. But, I mean, some of these reality shows with these celebrities like Dancing with the Stars are down to about the F list. I don't know what ESPN had out there. They could have done a lot better, but I guess they just couldn't get people to Bristol to put that thing together. All right, so that was Let's move on to some daily prices. Let's just finish with this. Daily pricing, because as I did on a podcast about a week ago, with the week one Sunday pricing, so there obviously aren't any Chiefs or any Patriots in here, but there are 26 teams in here, and you can look at week one DraftKings pricing, and it might help you make some decisions or tiebreakers as it relates to your season-long draft. So we did quarterbacks and running backs off that DraftKings list on a previous podcast. Let's just run through the week one, Sunday-only pricing on wide receivers. Antonio Brown, number one, $8,800 with the matchup at Cleveland. So, ironically enough, the top quarterback week one Sunday pricing, the top running back week one Sunday pricing, the top wide receiver week one Sunday pricing, all Steelers. Steelers at Browns week one. Julio Jones is second. By the way, I thought Stefania Bell made some very good points for drafting Julio Jones in your season-long league and talking about injury-prone, what is injury-prone and what is not injury-prone. Field Yates, I believe, also had some comments on this as it relates. Actually, Matthew Berry did on Keenan Allen, and I'm still not touching Keenan Allen. Here's the biggest problem on Keenan Allen. Matthew Berry, I know you're not listening. Here's the issue that most of us have with Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen doesn't score enough touchdowns. Keenan Allen seems to be a between-the-20s wide receiver. That's fine. I'd rather have guys who get more red zone targets. And it seems like as long as Antonio Gates or a running back like a Danny Woodhead or a Melvin Gordon are in the Charger offense, Allen is not the number one red zone target. That, to me, is his biggest drawback. So you can talk about injuries as the reason why people aren't giving him his due. No, I want receivers who are targeted in the red zone. And to me, Keenan Allen is not. That's why. Julio Jones, $8,500, Atlanta, Chicago. Odell Beckham Jr., $8,300. Giants at Dallas on the opening Sunday night game. A.J. Green comes in fourth. Remember, he was injured and knocked out of the remainder of last season, hosting Baltimore week four at $8,000. Number five, $1,000 less than the number one wide receiver, Mike Evans at the Dolphins week one. Mike Evans right up there, sort of on the top five fringe of best available wide receivers, according to many going into season-long fantasy drafts. I did say earlier this year on the podcast when DeSean Jackson was added that let's say DeSean Jackson was responsible for Evans losing 30 targets, considering the amount of targets that Evans already had. You'd still take the Evans body of work. There are just some teams I have a bad feeling about this year. Teams that were fantasy proficient last year or even had winning records last year, where I just get the feeling this year is going to be different. And there are some things that are going to be wrong, that are going to go wrong, that negatively impact these teams in their win-loss totals and also in fantasy performance. One is the Dallas Cowboys, and I think one is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Number six, Jordy Nelson, in wide receiver pricing according to DraftKings at $7,600. And then the rest of the top 10 is Dez Bryant, Amari Cooper, T.Y. Hilton, and Doug Baldwin. I would really say that, and remember, there are no players from the Thursday night games or the Monday night games in this overall list. I would say this overall list is very reflective, pretty much, of positioning for many of these guys overall. Amari Cooper, probably in the not a top 10 overall receiver to me in season-long drafts, but at the same time, in that Raider offense, to have, that's one of those teams where I say you want to have a piece. You want to have a piece of the Packers. You want to have a piece of the Patriots. You want to have a piece of the Saints. You want to have a piece of the Falcons. You want to have a piece of the Raiders. Those prolific offenses that spread it around, and you know, they're going to put up 28, 31, 35, 38, 42 points a game. Get some of that. Because they do it almost on a weekly basis. Once we get below, what did I say? Evans was six. No, he was five in this. Again, only Sunday players for this DraftKings listing. Evans was five, Jordy Nelson six, Dez seven, Amari Cooper eight, T.Y. Hilton nine, Doug Baldwin 10. Then below that, interesting. Golden Tate, 11. Sammy Watkins, 12. No. Terrell Pryor, 13. Now we're talking. Martavis Bryant, 14. I don't know you have enough to go on with that. Michael Crabtree, 15. There's that the Raider scenario we talked about. Larry Fitzgerald Price, 16th. DeAndre Hopkins, 17th. Kelvin Benjamin, 18th. Alshon Jeffrey, 19th. Jamison Crowder at 20. And just I'm going to scroll down and look for a few early bargains as it relates to wide receivers. Why don't we start at under $5,000 for a week one bargain at wide receiver? DeSean Jackson, sure. Hard to see a scenario where DeSean Jackson doesn't show up in the week one game on a new team with against the Miami Dolphins. DeSean Jackson looks like a good daily play week one to me at $4,900. Cole Beasley, he's a bargain every week. He really is bargain every week. One of those great daily plays, not so much of a season-long league guy unless you're desperate for a pickup. Cole Beasley, $4,700. Let me try to find one more and find it from the group of no. Let's offer Robbie Anderson. I need to see something from Robbie Anderson before I think he can do some of the same things he did late last year. So we'll stop at Devin Funchess at only $4,300 because I'll tell you what, can we take Keenan Allen, all right, and we take Devin Funchess and we make them one player, literally. There's a golf club in golf called a hybrid, and it incorporates the elements of an iron with the elements of basically what's considered a fairway wood. And they are easier to hit for that particular distance. I would like a hybrid of Keenan Allen and Devin Funchess. If you can make me that player, I will draft him as a wide receiver too. Because Keenan Allen does everything between the 20s I want. Devin Funchess does everything inside the hash marks and inside the 20 I want. They have kind of similar injury history, so maybe they would push. So yeah, there we go. There's my wide receiver too. If Keenan Allen and Devin Funchess were one player, and we'll end the podcast on that. Remember, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters, 12 Tampa Bay locations. If you are in the Tampa Bay area and you would like to be an owner in a league that I host that is powered by Hooters and JoeBucksFan.com, I need your info now. Send me your name, your number, your email, and if you have a preference of being at a Pinellas location or a Hillsborough location, I need it now. All right? Send it. It'll take you 1 minute. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. We'll talk to you next time.